This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So in this little series about dealing with trouble, last week we thought about perseverance. What if the trouble is relentless? And today, what if you're exhausted or burnt out? It could be that you've been studying into the wee small hours for your finals, or it could be like me, you've got 8 projects on at once at work, or maybe you're caring for a relative who's been declining over many years, or maybe some of those family relationships just won't resolve over years, or perhaps just you've been working at home throughout this pandemic and you're sick of it. Many of these things can leave us exhausted. And it's that slow build over a long period of time that can eventually leave us burnt out.
A few years ago, I referred myself to the Practitioner Health Service, a mental health service which deals, amongst other things, with stress and burnout in doctors. I'd spent many months worried about my father's declining health leading up to his eventual death. All the same time, I was working with a job with a really high workload. Some of the team members that I'd found supportive had left, so we were understaffed and morale was low in the practice. I kept on working. I didn't want to let people down. Meanwhile, I was processing the grief. Our youngest son had just gone off to university, and we had builders in the house. There's always a big pile of work for a GP to do, but I became really slow at making important everyday decisions. I worked even later until the cleaner had to chuck me out. I was more irritated by things that I might normally have been gracious about. My colleagues would ask if I was okay, but I knew they didn't have time to listen or help with the real answer to the question they were asking. We went away for a short break in the Lake District. I was exhausted, but I couldn't get work out of my head. Something had to change.
Another example, the prophet Elijah is very well known for the way that fire burnt his absolutely wet sacrifices on Mount Carmel in a spectacular showdown with the false prophets. The rains came, the famine ended. It was amazing success at the end of a long piece of challenging work for a prophet. But then there was a bit of a low point, which we'll read in 1 Kings chapter 19.
Now Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them."
So here's the problem. Elijah has just had this massive success, but he now has a threat on his life from the king's wife, Jezebel.
Elijah was afraid and ran for his life.
So our hero Elijah ran away. And one of the things I like about the Bible is that none of the heroes are very perfect. Elijah was afraid and he ran. I think it's probably the beginning of exhaustion or maybe even burnout for him.
When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness.
He left his servant there. When it's normal to want some time out by yourself, but I wonder if this was actually the right move for Elijah, leaving everyone behind and going for a solitary time in the wilderness when he was clearly in a bit of a state.
He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors."
So Elijah is really quite down. He wants to die. And something has happened to his self-esteem. "I'm rubbish," is what he seems to be saying.
Then he lay down under a bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water.
Sally was actually super excited when she read this in a different translation first, because it says there was a cake. And she thought it was going to be like cake, because cake is always good. But actually, in this translation, bread, it's really a bread cake. And in Yorkshire, I'd never heard of that word when I first came to Yorkshire. I believe it's also known as a scuffler, a barm cake, a bread bun, a cob, a bap, or a roll. But anyway, it's a Middle Eastern flatbread is what we're talking about here. Absolutely delicious and really good for building up your strength again if you're exhausted as Elijah was.
He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank.
So here's God speaking through an angel and telling him to do, well, what? Did he say, pull yourself together, get back to doing God's work straight away, don't be so silly, man up, don't be so emotional? And those are all things that God did not say. Instead, God says, get up and eat. And then he allows some sleep. And then he says it again, get up and eat. So it takes time, not just one special meal or getting over it in one sleep. First big takeaway here is that God knows and cares about our physical needs alongside our emotional and other needs.
Strengthened by that food, he travelled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God.
Quick geography lesson. Up in the north, Mount Carmel, and that's where the fire came down. And then he went just south of Jerusalem to Beersheba, and that's where he was tired and he had the sleep and the food and stuff. And now he's gone even further south down here, hope it's on camera, to nearly into Egypt, actually. And it's Mount Horeb, which is also known as Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is where Moses got the Ten Commandments. And that's why it's known as the Mountain of God.
Then he went into a cave where he spent the night. Sorry, that's my place. And the word of the Lord said to him, "Where are you going here, Elijah?"
Actually, he says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he actually says it twice. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And I wonder, how would you answer if God asked you that question? What are you doing here? Insert name. Is he asking, how did I get to this place? Is he asking, why this particular spot here? Or is he asking, what am I doing here? And actually, doesn't he know anyway? Why does he need to ask?
He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too."
So Elijah answers by telling some of his story. He tells of his commitment. "I've been zealous." He tells of the rejection and the isolation he feels. He's gone right out on a limb and he feels it's about to break because he's feeling the risk of death. So God is interested in our history, not just the bare facts of what happened, but also how it makes us feel. And this really is the second big takeaway. God wants us to express our feelings to him, just like for Elijah. God is interested in your history, the complexity of the factors that have shaped you or exhausted you or made you feel burnt out.
The Lord said, "Go and stand out on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out and stood at the mouth of the cave.
So God replies with hurricane, earthquake, fire, all things that are extremely scary. And during an earthquake, I wouldn't like to be in a cave, would you? There could be many interpretations here, but at the very least, God is matching the emotional tone of Elijah's speech. And then comes the whisper. There's a calmness. And it's in that calmness that Elijah recognizes the presence of God. And that's when he goes to the mouth of the cave wearing a face mask. So what does God say in the gentle whisper?
The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go back to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet."
Those are strange names, and what a different world from ours. So what can we take from this? First of all, go back the way you came. Elijah has run away from Israel to Egypt, but his calling is to be a prophet in Israel. He needs to get back there. God is reminding him of his calling and that he has work to do, which is appointing all those strange named people. So the third big takeaway is God reminds us of our calling. So what about you? Do you know who you are and what you're for? That sense of God's calling on your life, those kingdom themes he wants to work out through you, whether that's at work or in your family or as part of the Vineyard community here?
"Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him."
God says, "I reserve 7,000 in Israel." Do you remember Elijah saying a moment ago, "I am the only one left"? Well, that's how he felt, but it wasn't true. God is pointing out the truth of the situation. Elijah is part of a bigger picture, and Elijah is not to be isolated. And that's true for us as well. So that's the fourth big takeaway. Community, team, co-workers, that's how it's meant to be. We are not meant to be isolated and on our own, despite our culture of rugged individualism. So how can we reconnect with community?
I want to tell you some more of my story and spot some parallels with my story and that of Elijah's. You remember I was exhausted, burnt out, a bit depressed, something needed to change. Maybe a bit like Elijah. I didn't have the earthquake, thunder and fire, but there were a few things that helped me. On that holiday in the Lake District, I finally decided I had to take a break from work. I resigned my job, not knowing what would be next. I took some time to sleep, to rest. In your situation, it may not look the same, but rest and recovery may need to happen. So takeaway one, physical is important. Second, I talked with God on my own, and I think he listened. There were times when I could barely express what I felt, and there were times when I asked, "What am I doing here?" But takeaway two is God wants us to express our emotions to him. After my time out, I did some locum jobs. "Go back to where you've come from," is what God said to Elijah. And I'm a GP, and it was good to get back to it. So takeaway three, go back to your calling. And takeaway four, one of the strange things about being a GP is that it can be an isolating job. Even though I interact with so many people, it would be easy not to see another member of the team all day. But for the past 18 months, I've been working in a practice which really values teamwork. And it's been wonderful to be part of such a lovely team. Just like Elijah, I've been reminded that I don't have to be an isolated person. I wonder what communities and teams we find ourselves in. It could be at work, family, friends. And I think there's a really special place for our Vineyard small groups. I talk regularly with TGI Friday, my group, about my place in the workplace, and they're really part of my team, and we pray for each other about all sorts of things like that.
So Sally's been able to see many parallels between her story and the story of Elijah, and I wonder what you can pick up for yourself from his story or from hers, whether or not you currently feel exhausted. And I think there are at least four invitations from God for us today. And just like Elijah in the wilderness, God invites us to rest and be restored physically. And just like Elijah down there on the mountain, God invites us to express our emotions and to meet with him. And just like Elijah coming out of the cave, God reminds us of the things he's given us to do in the moment. and invites us to return to our calling. And then just like Elijah going back, we are invited to be part of the community of faith, a community that supports each other and reduces our sense of isolation.
And so my prayer for you is this. May you look after your physical self with food and rest and sleep and exercise. May you understand your emotions and stress reactions and be able to express them to God and other people. May you see your God-given purpose in life more clearly and return to it. And may you be part of a community of faith, supporting each other, both in tough times and in the good ones. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, David and Sal. That's great. So let's just take a moment. Let's just take a moment wherever we are to just rest. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you're present. And we wait for you. We invite you. We delight ourselves in you. We delight ourselves in your presence. As we were praying this morning, I was reminded of a verse in Isaiah, and it's Isaiah 11, verse 2. Let me just take the phone. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And I just had a sense of us needing to know this morning that whatever we need from the Holy Spirit, he's got it. He's there with wisdom. He's here and present with understanding. He has counsel for us. He has strength to sustain us. And he has the knowledge that we need in our circumstances. And he also draws close with the fear of the Lord, not a trembling fear, but just a desire to be so close to the Lord that we just never, ever want to do anything that separates us from him. That we will live our lives to preserve that relationship with him. And he's just present. He's present with you right now. And in the prayer meeting this morning, somebody just had a sense of some people just feeling that this year, this last 18 months has just been such a steep climb. Climbing and climbing and trying to keep going and working away at it, but just becoming almost exasperated and desperate for rest. And somebody had been recently on holiday and they'd climbed a mountain and their feet had got really hot. And there's a lake and they were able to take their boots off and put their feet into the lake and just have that refreshing sustenance come in and fill them. And just that sense that God is doing that this morning for people. Take your boots off. Stop trying to climb and rest in his presence. So, Father, for everyone who's burnt out this morning, everyone who's been trying to do things in their own strength or have just come to the end of what they can do, Father, we just pray restoration. Remind them of the hope of you, that their circumstances that they're in right now won't always be this way. It won't always look like this. There's change ahead. So bring your rest, Lord.